What about trials in the adjuvant setting?
Okay, trials in the adjuvant setting are very important. The ECOG 2805 study looks at patients that have had a nephrectomy, have locally advanced disease, they have at least T2 disease. T2 disease is 7 centimetres or above. They can have disease outside the capsule, which is T3, or lymph node positivity, provided they have no distant metastases and they're fully resected. And they go on to a blinded randomised study that runs for a year of either sorafenib, sunitinib, or placebo at standard doses. This study will require 1,300 patients. It's led by Dr. Naomi Haas and supported by all of the North American intergroup organizations. It's accruing very well. Importantly, it has tissue correlative studies and some other serum factors that are very important, a very elegant set of correlative studies that have been designed that are very important and will, I think, take us forward in more ways than just the outcome of this study. And the other issue is that a proportion of these patients will be studied for other adverse effects, including their cardiovascular profile on these drugs, which was very important because we're looking at giving them for a long time. And if they produce an adverse cardiovascular profile, that's going to be important because we're going to need to be aware of it and manage it. There is another study called the SOURCE study, headed up by Tim Eisen from Cambridge in the United Kingdom. It will run in Europe, multiple centres, and it's a study that will test using sorafenib in the adjuvant setting for either 1 year or 3 years versus placebo, the effect not only of adding a TKI in a similar population to the ECOG study, but also the duration. And this is really, for the standard sort of oncologist sitting out there listening to this, this is where we got to with how much tamoxifen do you give after postmenopausal node-positive breast cancer is the answer. Is it 2 years? Is it 5 years? Is it forever? And things that sort of came out of the STAR trial and what have you.
What about Bev in the adjuvant setting?
Bev in the adjuvant setting is interesting, and I'm not aware of a trial to test that. The problem, of course, is that, once again, what's the standard? Is it Bev and interferon? Well, Ed Messing ran a study some years ago where patients using very similar criteria to what we've talked about for this particular ECOG study were randomized to either get 1 year of interferon therapy subcutaneously 3 times a week or be observed. Now, tragically, patients that went on to the interferon arm had a median survival of about 5 years. Patients who were observed had a median survival of 7 years. And the quality of life assessment obviously favored observation. And whilst the differences in median survival were not quite statistically significant, I think that a 2-year difference is enough to cause alarm in a study of that size and suggest to us that we needed better therapy. And people will say, why do we need to do the ECOG 2805 and the SOURCE study? Why don't we just start putting people on these drugs? Because we think it's a good idea. We have the regulatory issue of insurance in this country, which tends to predicate our practice. And I'd argue that the insurers and maybe the taxpayers in certain instances have a right to have the trials done before we start spending what could be $60,000 a year for these patients on drugs where we may actually have a worse outcome. Now, I think these drugs are much better tolerated than interferon. I do not understand why the adjuvant interferon study produced a counterintuitive result, but we need to be really careful. Every day now we hear about drugs that have been approved by the FDA in a particular indication, and we discover that there is a downside. There's some side effect we couldn't have predicted, or there's something else going on that is really surprising. And obviously we've seen that recently with erythropoietin therapy for anemia related to cancer and chemotherapy.